This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Joe Bevilacqua and New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information, please visit newchapel.com.
Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone. My name is Joe Bevilacqua. I'm the lead pastor here at New Chapel. We are in part three of our series, Healed, and it has been a blast so far. We've absolutely ripped the lid off from any religious people or religious thoughts that you might have about God and really begin to show you what God's word says about his truth and his desire to heal people who are sick. And the first week, we talked about how it's God's signature miracle, like it's what he's known for. If you read through the Gospels and you leave thinking that Jesus Christ doesn't want to heal all those who are oppressed of the devil, you actually didn't read the Gospels because it is his signature miracle. Last week, we settled the issue once and for all. It is God's will to heal every person every time. It's not a question. He's not looking at one guy and saying, you know, I've always liked that guy, and this guy, cancer. You know what I mean? Like he's looking at people, his kids, his babies, and he's saying, I want to heal their bodies and see them live a long life. The Bible says with long life, he'll satisfy you and show you his salvation. And of course, this week, we're going to be talking about faith. We're going to be moving from the fact that God can do it to the fact that he did do it 2,000 years ago. You don't want to miss next week, by the way. Next week's going to be pretty significant. We're going to be praying for the sick. And unless you have a terminal illness in your body or something like that, we're not going to be praying for you today. We're going to let your faith build. We're going to let the process take effect. And it's a process that Jesus took people on. It's found in Matthew. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. There were three different things that Jesus would do. The first thing is he would teach. He would show you in the word. He wouldn't just say, hey, listen, I got it. I'm hot stuff. I'm the son of God. Watch this. He didn't do that. He would teach people. He would take them through the same progression that we're taking them on this month in July. He would teach to them, and then he'd preach to them. Now, teaching will give you education, but preaching will give you inspiration. That's where it really gets nailed home in your heart. Every single week, I try to give something inspiring to people. I mean, just something that feels like a breath of fresh air, like, yes, God can. You know what I'm talking about? And there's something that preaching can do that teaching can't. But then ultimately, he would heal all. So he would go from education to inspiration to demonstration. All right, guys, you ready? And he would lay hands on the sick and they would be healed. That's what we're going to do the last week of this series. So buckle up. It's going to be an incredible ride. If you have your Bibles, open with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. I want you to see something in the scripture. Mark, chapter 9. Jesus has a heart for his kids to heal. And we're really dealing with the subject of whether or not only we can be healed, but how we're healed. And I believe it's by faith. While you're turning there, let me tell you about my childhood for a moment. I was born with club feet. And if you don't know what that is, it's kind of like if your legs are straight, but your feet are turned in and kind of clubbed upward. And it's just horrible. It's a mutation. It's a deformity. And it's not genetic or anything else like that. But every once in a while, kids get born with a deformity like that. And I was born with club feet. I grew up and spent a lot of my time in Children's Hospital. In fact, I was just talking to some people that are familiar with Chicago and spent a lot of time in Oak Park because my hospital, my Children's Hospital, the Shriners Hospital, was there. And we had our first couple surgeries. In fact, by my son's age, he's 9 months, I'd already had two surgeries on my feet. And so what happened was, as I began to grow older into 3-4 years old, they noticed that my foot, this one in particular, started to turn in a little bit more. Well, they went back to the hospital in Grand Rapids, and they said, hey, you know, this is beginning to turn in. We'd like to, you know, take whatever the next step is so that he can walk normal. They said that this is completely fixable. And they said, if we did that, it would be an admission that we didn't do the first surgery correctly. So I'm sorry, we cannot do a surgery. As far as this hospital is concerned, your son is fine. Well, when you have a kid and your kid's suffering to walk, that doesn't really fly. So he went all around trying to find another hospital that would. The only hospital that would take him was the Shriners Hospital. Now, it's a hospital that won't let you pay, which is out of sight. And so we went there. But, I mean, you see people in their worst shape. I saw kids that were burnt over all of their bodies, just all of their bodies burnt in agony. I saw kids with they were born with no legs or had an accident and lost their legs. I saw kids with blood diseases, blood cancers, cancers of the body, and many kids like me with club feet who struggled to walk. I had to learn to walk a couple times. And that is the context that I grew up in. Next week, I'm going to be very raw and real and talk to you about my story of what God did in my life, something that a physician could never reach the apex of doing. But at the end of the day, I begin to realize something, having grown up around so much sickness and disease. Write it down if you're taking notes. Because sickness and disease are so common, most people accept it as a normal state of being. They have faith for sickness. Like, in other words, they say, well, you're going to get sick at some point in your life. You're going to have a couple colds, a couple flus. Most people, Pastor Joe, die from something. Most people, you know, I hope I live a long time, but chances are I'll die from something. What happens is you become faithful to what the world will give you. You have faith in what the world gives, and the world will give you illness. I had you open to Mark chapter 9. This is Jesus rejecting that notion. In Mark 9, I'll start in verse 14. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw large crowds surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. And when the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. Verse 16, Jesus says, what is all this arguing about? I'm going to stop the story for a second, write this down. Religious people would still rather argue than see sick people get well. This isn't new. This is stuff that's happened way back in Bible times. And I know this gets under the skin of Grand Rapids a little bit, but it is true. People would way rather argue about whether or not it's God's will, whether or not it's God's will for them, what they should be doing on Sunday. Get a life. Build a bridge and get over it. God is good. Amen, somebody? Now, we're not into all the demonstrative stuff and the showmanship. I'm not like that at all. And if you've been around New Chapel for any amount of time, you know that I don't get into that stuff. But if you want to side with God's word, if you want to side with Jesus, you better side with his desire to see people get well. Amen? Amen. Now, verse 17. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and he said, teacher, I brought my son to you so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. Stop for a second. Everybody look at me. It's not always an evil spirit that makes somebody get sick. There's viruses and there's different bacteria and there are things that you can catch in this world. There's things that will mutate and stuff like that. But the origin is the enemy. The origin is a fallen world. Does that make sense to you? Now we have to move on from there. Because also, let me note, Jesus never corrects him about whether or not it's a spirit. So in this case, it was a spirit. Verse 18, and whenever the spirit seizes him, so in other words, he has seizures, it throws him violently to the ground. He becomes foaming at the mouth. He grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. When I first got married to my wife, for the first several months, she'd grind her teeth in the middle of the night. I thought she had this very same spirit. Yikes. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Verse 21, how long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He said, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into fire or into water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. Now, it's important that he said it that way. Why? You know what he didn't say? If I can, I'm the Son of God. He didn't say that. He said anything is possible to him who believes. So in other words, there's a qualifier that's going on here. It continues on, Mark 9:25, when Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and it left. But the point I want you to take from this is, write it down, God's power flows. It flows to people who believe. That's how we get God's power. It really primarily comes through belief. So if we're going to side with the word of God, if we're going to find out how to be healed, how to walk in everything that God has for us, we have to get our believer up there. In fact, Mark 16 talks about the signs that follow believers. Anybody a believer in here? Raise your hand if you're a believer, you're a Christian. Amen. Yeah, we got even some applause. Amen. These are the signs that follow those who believe. Mark 16 I'll start in 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Stop for a second. You ever been to a church that doesn't have that on the wall? No, everybody believes that. Nobody's got a problem with personal evangelism, right? Because we want our churches to grow. This is where they have a problem. Verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. Well, that's talking about the disciples. Well, no, you have to do origami to the Greek to make it say that. But part two, I'm a disciple. You too? So these are signs that follow those who believe in my name. So Jesus' name still works. So there's another clause that would make this work. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Nobody has a problem with going to all the world and preach. But what we're preaching about is very, very important. The content of our message that God is a good God that wants to see you well is very, very important. I have a very profound statement for you. You might want to jot this down. Believers believe. No, I'm not just kidding, but truly, think about that. Believers believe. Believe what? We believe God's word. We believe God. We believe he's good. We believe he can do things. We believe that he currently still is doing miracles. We believe that God, with God, all things are possible. We don't have to wait for that. God can do it, right? But I want to hone in on one word here. It's the operative word of the context we're talking about today is, it says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That word recover is very significant. For most people, they think that if God's going to do something, it's going to be an instantaneous, spontaneous miracle. Now, can I tell you something? God loves doing miracles. We believe in that here. We believe, in fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about a ministry gift of healing. It says, to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another, working of miracles. But I want you to see something. Even in this, they're two different things. Healing and miracle are two separate things, two separate processes. Now, we love when a miracle happens. We love when we see somebody who was terminally ill, all of a sudden, smash, bam, boom, bah, bam, they're healed. And it is a miracle. And the Bible calls that a sign. Later on in that passage in 1 Corinthians, it talks about how he gives those gifts, those ministry gifts to people as he will. So there's people out there with like a sovereign gift of God on their life. Oral Roberts was one of them. He traveled all over America, and he had just this gift on his life to lay hands on the sick, and they would recover, son. I mean, they saw cancers happen. There were one time, this might gross some of you out, but there was somebody with a big tumor on their stomach, and it was hanging off him like an appendage. Oral Roberts went up there, grabbed it and ripped it off his body and said, you're healed in Jesus' name. And there was smooth baby skin underneath. I mean, you're like, whew, swallowed by gum. You know, like that's out of sight, right? Like a gift of miracles. Catherine Kuhlman, she was phenomenal. She would get people into the presence of God. And when people got into the presence of God, all of a sudden she'd just start calling out stuff and people would be healed in their spots. That's amazing. That is a miracle. We believe in that. We love when that happens. But I think so many of us believe that it has to happen that way or it really didn't happen. God didn't do something in our hearts or in our lives. Now, we see those things, those miraculous things happen on some regular order, but, write it down, many people seek the spectacular and miss the supernatural. They want the fireworks, but they don't want the fire. You know what I'm talking about? You want the showmanship, you want the cool thing, you want the instant one dose and you're done, but you don't want the process towards recovery. You know, this isn't in my notes, but in the book of Exodus, we read that it says, I'm the Lord that heals you. And we translated it Jehovah Rapha, and that means healer God. In another translation, it calls him the great physician, is what it literally would be translated to say. Okay, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, it talks about how the word is medicine to all your flesh. So when you read the Bible, in fact, if you ever wondered why is Billy Graham like still alive? Like he had his last crusade like 20 years ago, and then he did a whole bunch, you know, like he's been planning to die for, why is he still alive? Well, it's because he keeps on staying in the word and it's health to all his flesh. It's medication. So if you think about it, he is our great physician. He prescribes the word of God to us. That's your prescription. If you had something that you would have to take an antibiotic for, you wouldn't take one pill and be like, it's done. Medicine works. No, you'd take the whole thing through, whether it's 7, 14 days, 21 days, or 6 months. You'd take the whole prescription until it's completely done, and then you'd be satisfied with it. Why would you treat the word of God any differently than that? Why would you treat recovery anything different than that? He's the great physician. He has a prescription for you, and it's the word of God. Wow. So many people seek the spectacular, and they miss the promise for recovery. And here's what happens. They're waiting for this miracle to happen, which we just read sovereignly happens, and they miss the promise for recovery. They want the fireworks, but they completely miss the promise. There is a promise by which you can be well. Don't miss it. So write it down. There's a difference between the miracle and the blessing of God. There's a difference in between the two. God calls the Christian to a higher level. God calls the Christian to a level where you believe. We said believers believe. So I see it often where somebody will be in financial straits. They'll be in bankruptcy. I mean, things are going down. And if I don't get the money immediately, I'm going to go bankrupt. So they tithe for 1 week and they expect just the windows of heaven to go, you know, and just cash. I don't know what they're thinking, you know, and they miss God's plan, which if you want a miracle, there's a daily miracle. It's called a budget, you know, that's your daily miracle. Okay. You want a daily miracle? It's called tithing. Okay. You tithe and give and you're generous. God will open the windows of heaven, and over a progression of time, you will be sincerely blessed. Like, we love it when the financial miracle happens. Praise God. But you can't rely on the miracle. You need to rely on the blessing. Put your weight on the blessing. And it's the same way with healing. We love it when miracles happen, but you can't fall back on, I'm getting a miracle. If I don't get my miracle, I've even heard people say it who are sick. It's coming to my mind right now. If I don't get my miracle, then whoa. The promise isn't for miracle. The promise is for recovery. So we need to have faith in God's healing blessing instead of the miracle healing blessing. Because this fight of faith called Christianity, it really requires more than just what you see. Like, you have to have no faith to see a miracle. You see somebody's leg grow out as long as the other one, you have to have no faith for that. You just saw it. It happened. But the fight of faith that we're in is going to require you to believe in things that you can't see. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. We train your kids in that, back in New Kids and Newbies, and they accept it almost immediately. Why is it so hard for us sometimes? I think a lot of us have faith for an eternity, and you have this supernatural ability to believe that God's going to do this miracle in eternity. We're going to another realm called heaven, where we're going to have glorified body, and you believe in all of that once you die. But I think we struggle with believing God for healing today. And that's not God's pattern. That's not God's plan for our life. So what does this mean for you in the context of healing? Write it down. As a Christian, we should pull on our faith over receiving a miracle and believe God for recovery. Say amen, somebody. So what does faith look like? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed. Remember, title deed. Faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things that we hope for, the things that are divinely guaranteed. Stop, everybody look at me real quick. That's what we've been doing for the last several weeks, is building up your hope, building up this divine guarantee. So you accept the divine guarantee. You're not in faith yet necessarily until you have the title deed, like I have it, but we're building up your hope. So it is the assurance, the confirmation of those things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as real fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. It's the title deed. Now, I want you to imagine somebody came in here today and you've been believing God for your financial miracle. And they come up to you and they give you a deed to a property in the Florida Keys. Man, we're talking oceanside property, a three-story house. You have to take a boat to get there. Some of y'all feeling the Holy Ghost right now. You feel that? That's God. and you get, somebody hands you the deed, okay? Now, this is what it looks like. I want to liken recovery to the journey down to the Keys, okay? So if you got in your car today, in fact, some of you, if you had kids or have a job or whatever, you might have to plan some time before you could even leave your front door, okay? And then when you left your front door, you get in your car and you start to drive down. You get off into Kentucky and you get outside your car. You finally made it through that demonic state of Ohio. And you get out there. You waited to get gas. You're going off from fumes. And you get out. You get down to the Quick Trip and you open up your door. Whew. It is significantly hotter here than it is in Michigan. Wow. You get your gas and you go in. You keep on driving. It would take a couple days to get down there. By the time you'd get down into Georgia, all of a sudden you'd look and you'd see things that are different. Every once in a while, you'd see a palmetto palm tree and you'd be like, that's okay. We're getting there. You'd see a dead armadillo on the side of the road. That's different roadkill than we have in Michigan. You know what I mean? By the time you got to Orlando and then to southern Florida, you'd see palm trees all around you. It now completely looks different. Okay. And still, if you stayed overnight, you would still be another day away. And then you'd keep on driving, go down to the Keys, and they have one little expressway. In fact, I think it's called One. And you take that little expressway, and you get down, and you get into your property. And until you got out of your car at your property, you wouldn't begin to possess what you already own. Does that make sense? So for some people, they'd hand you a deed, and I don't believe in that. That's just black and white on paper. Well, some people are like that with the Word of God. Some people get all the way down to Orlando and they say, this isn't working. Driving doesn't work. Driving died with the last apostle. So I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go back to Grand Rapids. And it seemed to get better, but maybe it's not. How about this? There's people that take days to get down there in a car, but there's some people who fly there. Okay? They're actually going to get there quicker than the person that's driving, but they have a different battle. Let's say you left Michigan in January. It's ice cold. You get into the airport, it's cold. They don't put the heat on at Gerald R. Ford, they're cheap. You get into the plane, it's cold. You get up to high altitude, it's cold. You go above clouds, it's cloudy the whole way down. You get off into the airport, southern Florida, you get out into the airport. The air is cranked, you're cold. It's not until you leave the airport door that you see anything get better. Does it make sense to you? Is this sinking in? You can't walk by what you see on the journey. For some people, recovery, it looks like things are getting better every day. Man, it's getting warmer. It's getting warmer. I'm seeing different things. And I'm there. Okay? There's some people that it doesn't look like it gets better, but actually, you might even be on a quicker flight. And every once in a while, you have to take a layover in Minneapolis. Why is it always the Twin Cities of Minneapolis that we get hung over in? You know what I'm talking about? And sometimes people take a trip there and it doesn't look like it's getting better, but you're in a faster vessel. If you could get the faith to get down there, man, we could see some change real quick. But people turn around. They turn back on the process. Now, faith is the title deed. You have to believe, I own property in Florida. I've seen the pictures. I've got it right here. But you don't possess it until you get down there and you live in the house. There's a difference in between receiving and possessing. Now, when you say amen, you better receive it by faith at that moment. The Bible says, if you don't, you're a double-minded man. You're unstable in all your ways. You have to believe when you say amen, no, I am healed at this moment. I have it. I have the title deed that God did it. I am the process right now. I received it. I'm on my way down to possessing it. Well, you don't look healed. That's the funny thing about you. I don't walk by what I see. I walk by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I am healed. The truth of the matter is I'm healed in my body. And I'm here to tell you this morning that some of you are so, so close to healing, it would blow your mind if you knew how close that you were, but you started to gauge your recovery journey on what you're seeing around you, and you are 10 steps away from the exit of the airport in Naples, Florida. You might be a short car ride away from possessing the land. But you're looking at what you see instead of trusting in the Word of God. We need to pull back from what we see and trust the Word. Amen, somebody? I was talking to my brother about this the other day, and we were talking about faith, and he's a private pilot. My dad's a commercial pilot, and I have like 14 hours. Okay, so I don't have a lot in, but we were talking about flight. And he said, man, Joe, as you were preaching, I was thinking about how people fly and how, you know, when you get into bad weather or in a cloudy situation, you actually cannot go by what you see around you. You have to completely fly by the instruments. The instruments will tell you whether you have wing level flight. And what will happen is if you don't go by the instruments, you'll get something called vertigo. JFK Jr., John F. Kennedy's son, died of vertigo, we believe, in July 1999. He was flying to Martha's Vineyard. He's flying his plane. He was in a storm. Now, they checked the rubbage. And there was nothing wrong with the plane. There was no real reason why he should have gone down. But what happens is that we get this three-way disconnect in between reason, instinct, and reality. And what happens is you think up is down and down is up. And then when your feelings are lying to you in the gauges, what happens is you'll overcompensate for your feelings, and that's where he just nosedived and crashed and died. That vertigo, that feeling is a deceiver. What you see can deceive you. You can't go by that. We have to go by the instruments. We have to go by what God's word says every single time. God's word be true and every man a liar. That is our instruments. That's what we fly by. That's what we go by. You cannot go by anything else. So write it down. You have to trust God's word, not how you feel on your path to recovery. You have to trust his word. Now, what is the title deed? I've had people ask me that. Now, the Bible's chock full of promises, but I want to bring out the title deed in a very definite way, a way that you'll never forget. And that is the fact that the title deed is what Jesus Christ earned for us on the cross. See, he earned salvation for us for sure. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in him we have redemption. That's that eternal life. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace. Salvation happened at the cross, but there was something else that happened at the cross, and that is healing. Healing is part of the atonement. Read this out of Isaiah 53. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Psalm 103, 2 and 3. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all of your diseases. 1 Peter 2, 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. That's the cross. So that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And by his wounds you've been healed. It's not one thing, it's both. The title deed is the fact that the cross, the atoning work of Christ, paid for both salvation, that's eternity, and healing, that's today. That's the promise of God. You know, we believe the provision for salvation, sozo is that Greek word, we've been studying that through the series, was paid for over 2,000 years ago on the cross, right? So when we pray for someone and they accept Christ, theologically, we don't believe they got saved at that moment. We believe that they accepted a salvation that happened 2,000 years ago. Does that make sense to you? They didn't get saved at that moment. So if somebody gets healed, we don't believe that God's sovereign power at that moment healed them in their body. What we believe is they accepted a provision that was paid for them over 2,000 years ago. That's the twofold nature of the cross, both salvation and healing. And that's the power of our God. We need to then move from believing that God will do it in the future to the fact that God did do it, and I'm just going to partner with what he did. Like, salvation was earned for everyone, you better accept Christ. You know what I'm talking about? Healing was earned for everyone, you should really partner with God's promise to heal. That's the title deed. So now, how do we get into faith? How do we go from this land where it's going to happen to it happened? Well, the first thing I would tell you is this. We move past doubt. We need to move past it. And that's what we're doing this whole month. And let me just say this also. There's a difference in between doubt and unbelief. Doubt just thinks, I don't know if he can do it. I don't believe. I'm not there yet. Unbelief is, I know what the Bible says, and I'm choosing not to believe. If you wanted to put like a municipal sign in front of that, that would say Grand Rapids. I know what the Bible says, but I don't believe it. Wow. And I hate to give a little pastoral spank right there, but just to be honest, that unbelief is deadly. Yeah. Like, if you believe in Jesus, we'll share heaven together, but your eyes are going to be open to all of the wonderful things that could have happened in your life. Wow. We had a family go out, and we actually ran out of books, Christ the Healer, but they got a copy, and they were so excited about it, they called us up and said, we want to donate 30 copies to the church for people to have for free. So what I'm going to say is this, is if your name's on the list, or if it's not and you want a copy, don't play the shy thing like, oh, I'm going to let someone else have it who really, no, go up there and get it. In fact, let me put it this way, the people that really want to be free, they're going to go up there and grab that book freely. And this family was so moved by the book that they gave 30 free copies. Go get your copy of Christ the Healer, read the thing through, struggle the thing through to move past doubt. So let me ask you a question. Are you doing everything that you can to understand God's will? Are you doing everything that you can? Or are you sitting back with your arms folded and be like, oh, I don't know. Okay, then just be quiet. Don't say that you know that it's not true or that you know that it's true without studying this thing through and wrestling it down so you know what the Word of God says. Amen, somebody? Number two, how do we get into faith? Number two, we become fully persuaded in what God has promised us. Okay? This is declaring the end before the beginning's even started. You need to start speaking the Word of God. You need to start praying the Word of God. You need to get into faith in this. The Bible says that we're called to call those things which be not as though they were. And this isn't denial. I'm not talking about denial here. It's not calling those things which are as though they aren't. So if you're dealing with a sickness in your body, I understand that. But what you do need to do is speak forth what God's promise is. You need to say, I am healed in my body. No weapon formed against me should ever prosper. God's promised good to me. His goodness and mercy follow me. With long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. I am the healed of the Lord. I am blessed, favor. Thank you, Jesus, that you've done a miracle in my body. Father, I've received it and I'm possessing the land in Jesus' name. You begin to speak out the word of God. Watch faith rise. Watch the power of God rise in your life. Then you will move from God can to God did. You'll receive that title deed. Now, I can't, in one message, give you everything that you need to know about faith. It would just be impossible. So what we did was we grabbed one of our series called The Radical Everyday, and it's a 5-part message talking about faith in God. And here's what we did. It's normally $25. We put it on sale for $20. What we want you to do is go grab this series and wrestle it down. Get through faith. Understand how to receive from God in any situation. So let me ask you the question. Have you made the move from God will do it to God did it? Think about that. How do we move into faith? Number 3, we come next week expecting God to move in our lives. You come expecting. You come excited. Like when I get prayed for, I'm going to be healed. That's where your faith needs to be. James says, call for the elders of the church. They'll lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. That's what we're going to do next week. We're going to preach to you about how to receive from God, why some people don't receive from God. And I'm going to be sharing my personal healing testimony. You know, the amazing thing is if I go out and try to argue with an atheist, listen, you need to get saved and let me show you all the reasons why. You can try to argue it down and they'll argue some really good points back with you. But you know what you can't argue is the fact that I'm saved. God changed my life. You can't argue with a changed life. Does that make sense to you? So in the same way, if God heals you personally, nobody's going to talk you out of that. And God's no respecter of persons. If he does it for one, he'll do it for everybody else. Wait till you hear my story. I hope it shakes you. I hope it changes your life. And that's all going to be next week. So let me ask you a question. Are you excited for what God is going to do in your life?
Hello, New Chapel. My name is Pastor Tommy Pinkerton. I'm actually a board member of your church and great friends with Pastor Joe Bevilacqua. And I know that you guys are doing a series on healing and faith. And I just wanted to share one of my personal stories with you. And I believe that it will encourage you in your faith. And as your faith grows, then of course you are able to walk in the supernatural. It's the story of my mother, aka Granny Pink. She is a walking, talking testimony of what a life of faith can do. My mom, about 20 years ago, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And of course, as you know, that is a degenerative disease of the central nervous system. It can affect your sight, your hearing, your mobility, your ability to walk, all kinds of things. Basically, it affects your ability to have a normal life. But because of the power of God and the faith of my mother, she's experienced so many healings. One of those is about 15 years ago, she went in for an MRI, and on the MRI, they're scanning her brain, and they bring the results out. And my mom had been an RN for a long, long time, and so the doctor and my mom and my dad are looking at the MRI. The doctor's face is going pale with fear, and my dad is standing back with just a look of just disarray on his face, and my mom is standing firm, simply looking at the MRI. And the doctor says, "This is impossible. How are you able to speak and even walk or communicate? Because if you look here on the MRI, the part of your brain that controls your mobility and speech is gone. It's totally atrophied because of the MS. And my mom looks at him and says, "Well, doc, you're a great doctor, but my faith is not in medical science, but my faith is in the heavenly physician. And if the God, the creator of my brain, wants me to be able to walk and talk without a brain, then he can do it. That's the kind of God that we serve." So my mom, even today, is walking around with a portion of her brain that is totally missing, but by faith, she's able to walk. You know, that reminds me of a scripture. It's not by sight, but it's by faith that we're able to do these things, that we walk by faith and not by sight. And so I'm excited about that. Another story of my mom, and when she was really going through it, she was going to sleep with her shoes on. My dad says, "What are you doing? Why are you going to sleep with your shoes?" And my mom said one day, "I'm going to sleep with my shoes on because if the Lord touches me in the middle of the night, I don't want to take the time to put my shoes on because I plan on running around this house as God has healed me, and I don't want to spend any time putting on my shoes." That is a walk of faith. When you begin to do things like that, my goodness, the opportunity for the supernatural to be made manifest in your life as you live it out in faith. I know that this sermon series that you're going through at New Chapel has been blessing you, and I have no doubt that it is going to continue to bless you as you begin to learn how to exercise that muscle of faith. And here's the good news. If God will perform supernatural miracles by faith for my mom, one thing I know about our Lord is that He is not a respecter of persons. If God would do it for Granny Pink, New Chapel, I have no doubt that God will do it for you and your family members and bring miracles, signs, and wonders to you. Wow, I'm so happy to be a part of this. I'm so happy to share with you these stories of faith. And I look forward to hearing your stories of faith as God begins to do supernatural works for you.
Awesome. Multiple sclerosis, MS. I know a lot of people say, "Oh, Pastor Joe, listen, if they appeared to get healed, it's because they never were sick in the first place." Half of her brain is atrophied to the point where on a MRI, you can't see it anymore. Now, lest you think, "Well, why wouldn't God inflate that part of her brain?" I don't know why Jesus had scars on his hands still when he came back. I have no idea. Healed with scars. I have no idea. But she has complete function. She was diagnosed 23 years ago in 1993. She got to the spot where she couldn't walk and talk. And God miraculously healed her of MS. Boy, they'd love a cure for MS. And you know what? We got it. Why isn't this going all over the world? Because there's a qualifier. Belief. You have to trust Him. You can't trust Him because you want to get healed. You got to trust Him with your life. You got to trust Him with your eternity. You got to trust Him with your next breath. When that's taken care of, receiving healing's no problem. This message of healing, this power of God, is designed to go all over the world. It's when a group of people really get it in their hearts. Joel Osteen's church, Lakewood, got a hold of this message and have seen people healed of cancer. What? Healed of AIDS. No more AIDS. Here's a doctor's report with AIDS. There's no more AIDS. Why does that happen? It's because the Word of God works. We don't go by our feelings. We don't go by what we think. We go by the Word of God. And next week, we're going to see miracles. We're going to see the power of God move on people's behalf. Bring your sick people next week because we're going to see miracles happen at New Chapel. And the pressure isn't on me. The pressure's on Jesus because the Bible says in Acts 10 and verse 38, "Oh, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." And God wants to do the same thing for you on your behalf. Amen, somebody? Father, we love you so much. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in the life of our church. Father, we thank you for moving in people's hearts. Lord, we thank you that they see the light of salvation. And God, we thank you that you make all things new in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to speak to your heart for a second. Maybe you came into this place and you don't know what this is all about. Something in your heart resonates. This is good. This is God. I don't know if I can buy all of it. I can't buy the farm, but something in my heart resonates with this. My friend, let me tell you something. God is drawing you to Himself right now. Our God's not dead. Muhammad died. Buddha dead. Our God rose from the dead.
Our God sits on a throne. The Bible says there's healing in his wings. Maybe you came in here and you don't even know about the God issue, but you want to settle it today. Like, you want to know that you can have an eternity in heaven. You want to know that he can make all things new in your life. Our God is able, if you only believe. Let's pray. Everyone say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for washing me clean. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for these people that accepted Christ in this room. Father, I thank you for the miracle that you did in their heart. Lord, I thank you that that is the great miracle that you do. And Father, I thank you that you show them the blessed life that you have for them, that they would know that you are good. Father, surround them with other believers. Get them plugged into a small group and help them to know that nothing will be the same. In Jesus' name. Church, let's give it up for those people that accepted Christ in this place. Proud of you. Proud of you. God is good. Hey, listen, we are going to transition our service right now into the generosity portion. And if you came prepared today to worship God with your finances, now is your moment to do that. Let me tell you that there's five ways that you can give at New Chapel. The first way, obviously, is in service. You can surely give in service by cash or check. That happens every single week. People do that. We have an app that you can download called Secure Give. If you go to the App Store and download the Secure Give app, you can download it there. The third way is you can text to give. Every single week, you can text and send in your gift. The fourth way is online, and this is the way that most people do it at New Chapel, at newchapel.com/give. And we've been encouraging people that if it's important to you, automate the important, automate the great thing that God has done in your life through giving. And we know that God has a blessing for us when we give. Scripture says that in Luke's gospel, chapter 6 and verse 38, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. As you give today, I want to share with you a simple illustration that when you give that money into that bucket, why do you guys use buckets and not plates? Far cheaper at Lowe's, okay? Some of you guys gave in these cute little like gold looking chalices as it went by. No chalices at New Chapel. When you give that money into that bucket, that money leaves your hand, but it doesn't leave your life. The Bible says that when you give, it gets given back to you. Good measure, shaken down, pressed together and running over. And that's what God wants to do in your life. Can you trust God with the tithe, 10% of your income? Can you trust God with an offering over and above? Let me just tell you, the God of the universe that can send us to an eternal heaven, that can heal our bodies today, you can trust him with your finances. Amen, somebody? Hey, we're going to take our money in our hand. Just go and hold that in your hand. This is your point of contact. Maybe you give online. Go ahead and take your phone out. Just hold your phone for a second. What I want to do is I want to pray that when you give today, that it's given back to you, that God meets all of your needs, that he wants his people to be able to pay their bills. Amen, somebody? And that we're able to move on and spread this gospel all over the city, state, and home over the world. Amen? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow this seed into your kingdom. Father, as we give this because we love you. We tithe because we love you. We worship you with this gift, God. And Father, we thank you that you personally receive it in heaven. And according to your word, God, the most humble thing that we can do is expect for you to perform your word, which means that you are going to give unto us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God, we trust you with our finances. We trust you with our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Go ahead and pass the buckets.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, visit newchapel.com.